Exodus chapter 38. You've got the account here of Israel's absolutely huge generosity, apparently, to the work of the sanctuary. Verse 24, it says, all the gold of the offering was 29 talents, 730 shekels. That's about 1,000 kilograms. That is 1 ton of gold. Now, a ton of gold today would be worth about $65 million. And if you add up also how much silver and how much bronze was brought, or brass, you will find that all up it was about 10.5 tons, that's 10,400 kilograms. Now, this is a huge amount of wealth, absolutely huge, staggering. This is how much the Egyptians gave them when they left Egypt on Passover night. You remember they were told to borrow jewels, etc., from the Egyptians, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Well, they certainly did, because this is a huge amount of stuff. This would have weighed a huge amount. I suppose that it was transported, not so much on sort of wagons, but there was a lot of Israelites who left. And they were each to have borrowed jewels and things like that from their neighbours. So I imagine that we're not to speculate about wagons sort of with great big bars of gold on them, but rather individuals carrying a fair bit of gold that they had taken. So indeed they spoilt the Egyptians. And you learn a few things from that. One thing, you learn how people want to give money. They want to give wealth. Of course, they didn't have money in those days. They had valuable jewels and things like that. And so they wanted the Israelites out. They realized that they were going to get destroyed, and they thought that, well, if we are generous to them, then this will somehow buy us out of our difficulty. What God wanted for the Egyptians was that they should believe, that they should turn to him. That's what he wanted. And all the plagues were not so much God lashing out in judgment upon them, but rather trying to judge all the gods of Egypt, trying to bring each of them to repentance. And of course, some of them did. Some of the Egyptians did leave Egypt with the Israelites. And yet, of course, that isn't quite the point. That is not quite the point. They gave that money because they just thought somehow we are going to buy our way out of destruction. What God wanted was faith rather than that. And in a way it was the same now with the Israelites. They thought that by giving this huge amount of stuff that they had in any case grabbed from the Egyptians themselves, that somehow that was sort of appeasing their religious conscience. Because we're told that they actually took the idols of Egypt with them through the Red Sea. Ezekiel 20 says that, although the Exodus record doesn't record it. Amos 5, they carried two tabernacles. They carried God's tabernacle, which they're constructing now, and also the tabernacle of Moloch. They carried the star of their god Remphan, when in fact they were also carrying the standards of the tribes, which you can work out were reflective of the cherubim who were going with them. So, were they really devoted to Yahweh or not? You can take the lesson that what we take from Egypt, what we take from this world, any wealth that we, in whatever way, acquire in this world, is to be given to God. This is clearly the idea. And what you pick up along the way, you're to give to God. When you read about seal skins, well, seal skins they would have picked up by the shores of the Red Sea, and then later they give them to God for the construction of the tabernacle. And of course, in a sense of what could they do with their wealth in the desert? They were 40 years trudging through the desert. I mean, what can you do with gold? It's not worth anything. There's like no shops to spend it at, as it were. They simply would have used it, just taken it with them, thinking, yeah, this will one day hopefully be something. but you might as well give it a go because you're going to die anyway. And when you also consider that they constructed the golden calf out of gold, well, again, that would have been a fair bit of gold. This that they gave, this huge amount, just talking about the gold, let alone the silver and brass, this 1,000 kilograms of gold, there's $65 million worth of it, this was probably not all they had. They probably kept some for themselves. And as I say, you see how, although in their hearts they returned to Egypt, although they bitterly complained with Moses, against Moses, and they said that it's better for us to have been in Egypt. There we had better food. We're tired of this manna. We want the garlics and the fish and all the stuff that they sort of remembered from Egypt, although they were living effectively in concentration camps. Yet, all right, they in their hearts had returned there, but they were still very generous to God. They didn't actually have to give all this. And in fact, there are times like here and also later in Israel's history where they are hugely generous to various building projects in the temple, etc., and even have to be told, stop bringing. We've got more than enough for the job. So you then just reflect on the wider Christian scene and the wider religious scene, that people are generous, hugely generous. When the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris burnt down, there was immediately offers of billions to rebuild it from individuals. You look at, just in Christianity, which I guess we're more familiar with, you know, the Catholic Church, people are very generous. They go to church, they do their religious thing, and yet, as has been widely admitted by them and observed, of them, they live the same sort of life generally as anybody else lives in the world. Just that they're very generous to their church. And right to the other end of the Christian spectrum, you look at Pentecostalism. You've got the huge amounts of money that are given to pastors in prosperity churches, etc. Some of these pastors just fantastically wealthy on the backs of what people have given them. It's obviously very attractive to give materially to God. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. Of course, as we see here, what you take from Egypt, what can you use it for in your wilderness journey? You might as well give it to God. But more than that, you should give it to God. God gave it to you, so you give it to him. It's all his. It is not yours. This is the great illusion of wealth, that it is mine. It is not. And yet, what I'm saying is that it's so easy to think that therefore and thereby I am justified. Whereas that was not at all what God ultimately wanted. He thirsts for relationship with people. He wanted Egypt to come to him, to have relationship with him, not to just give their money to the Israelites hoping that will save me. And he wanted the hearts of Israel. He didn't want them to carry the tabernacle of Moloch. He didn't want them to have their own idols, etc. He wanted them to worship him. But they don't do that, and yet they give him a load of their wealth, or as I say, their wealth in between the commas. I mean, it was all what God had given them, ultimately. And so, yes, sure, be generous, but you cannot buy salvation. You cannot buy your way into God's kingdom. And yet, in the capitalistic system in which we live, you can buy everything and anything apart from, ultimately, escape from death and apart from relationship with God. So actually, the only things that are ultimately worth having, everlasting life and relationship with God, you can buy. You might be able to buy about everything else, but you can't buy that. And yet people like to think that even those things can somehow be capitalized. That is, that they can be given cash value, that they can be turned into another kind of commodity on the supermarket shelf. And of course they can't. And as I say, when you look at people who in their lives, in their daily life, hour by hour life are, on their own admission, very far from God, yet they will troop along to their religion, be it Catholicism, be it Pentecostalism, and be extremely generous. And yet it does not affect their life, because there is this sense that I have paid my dues. And this is the huge difference between religion and spirituality. I have said before, and I will repeat it, that when I was, as a teenager, baptized, I was drying myself off, and I opened my Bible at random. When you open a Bible at random, well, it does tend to fall over, fall open roughly in the middle. And I came to Proverbs 23, "My son, give me your heart." And that has been what I've tried to follow and what I urge upon you. My son, give me your heart. That is what God wants above everything. Of course, all our gold, silver, and bronze is his. Absolutely, every bit of it. Although we may say that I worked for it. Well, yes and no. You did. And yet in another sense, everything that you have is his. And it is to be given to him. And yet what I'm saying is that cannot buy you salvation. That is not essentially what God wants. He wants spirituality. He wants spiritual mindedness. He wants, above all things, eternally to have a relationship with you.